Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Isn't it exciting when we start a new year? Typically, at this time of the year, you know, when a new year is starting, it's a time for starting over in a lot of ways. It's a time for new beginnings. It's a time when people like to make resolutions. How many of you made resolutions this year? Not very many of you. I guess some of you just gave up, right? You said, hey, I'm not going to keep them anyway, so what's the point, right? But it is typically a time when people start making plans. You know, we like to think about what the new year is going to bring, right? And hopefully this new year will bring lots of blessings upon you and upon your family. You know, when we talk about the new year, it's typically a time for making plans for the future. Okay? So here's a thought for you. What are you doing in the future? Okay, I don't know if you've thought about it that way, you see. You know, what is your future hope for you? You like to make the plans and, you know, the dreams and all those kind of things, but what are you doing in the future? I have a sign in my office that says, my hope is in the future. I plan on spending the rest of my life there. Okay, I'll let that sink into you for a little bit, okay? But really, you know, what we have is right now, and the rest of our life is really in the future, isn't it? So what are you doing in the future? Let me challenge you as you think about this new year and as you think about your future and what the future may hold for you. Let me challenge you to think about it the way that James calls upon us to think about it. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. Notice what he says. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this city or that city, we'll spend a year there, and we'll carry on business and make money. Okay? So here's the idea, is that we typically look at the future and we say, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what my plans are for the future. I plan to go here. I plan to do this. I plan to accomplish these kinds of things. And so James continues to say, why, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. You see, the reality is, and this is something that I think James in his wisdom wants us to understand as God's people, we're not even guaranteed that we're going to finish today. So tomorrow, I mean, that's, you know, let's get through today first, okay? But the fact of the matter is that none of us is guaranteed that we're even going to walk out of this room this morning. Now, you know, that you say, well, you're morbid, aren't you? No, I'm just being real. Okay, that's the truth of the matter is, we sometimes worry so much about tomorrow, we don't think about that, you know, you know, most people that die, they don't, you know, they get up in the morning, they don't realize they're not guaranteed to live through that whole day. Right? And when you lay down at night to go to bed, you're not guaranteed you're going to wake up the next morning. See? Because we're not guaranteed anything beyond what we have right now. Now, there's nothing wrong with making those plans and so forth. But we have to realize, and James wants us to understand, look, we don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. So when we're making all of our plans, there are some things that we have to think about. First of all, that our life is, as he says, it's a mist. Okay? It's here for a very, very short time. In the big scheme of things, in other words, you go back through history, the history of the world, and when you put it in the context of eternity, all right, your life and my life is a moment in time. Okay? And it comes and it goes that quickly. Your life is a mist, or some translations say a vapor. It is here for a very short time, and then it's gone. It disappears. And so James offers us this advice. When we understand that concept and how short and how indefinite life in this world really is, he tells us, here's the wisdom of the way that you need to be looking at the future. Okay? You ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, okay, then we're going to live and do this or do that. See? So it really needs to be all about what the Lord's will is. Whatever I'm going to be doing in the future depends on the Lord. I don't know what that's going to be. I have ideas in my mind, you say, but I need to address and live out each day understanding that it's the Lord's will as to whether those things are going to be accomplished, and I need to be living to accomplish His will for my life, not just focusing on mine. You say, so if it is the Lord's will, I will do this or I will do that. Jeremiah, in the text that Dale read for us at the beginning, says this, the Lord tells us, okay, He has plans. He says, I know the plans. Look at what He says here, I have for you. Now, that's a lot different than typically the way we look at it. We look at it and say, here's the plans I have for me. Okay? But God is saying, I know the plans I have for you. Okay? Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So, you see, God has established that He's got plans for you. Now, one of the things that we have to understand is that our plans may not necessarily be the same as His. So, in order to make things work out right, what has to happen? We've got to change our plans so that they fit His. Okay? Not expect God to change His plans to fit ours. Because you see, He says, the plans that I have for you, okay, first of all, they're plans not to bring you harm. God does not have any plans to harm you. Now, we are going to face harm in our lives. Okay, we're going to face hardship. We've talked about that in previous lessons, right? That's part of life. But God's plans for us is not to harm us. God does not have a desire, in other words, to bring you harm. Okay? He has plans to prosper you. You see? He has plans to give you hope. And He's got plans for your future. Now, that future may indeed be very, very short in terms of this life right now. Okay? In other words, you could die today. I could die today. And my future in this world will be over with. But He's also got plans for our eternal future. You see? And that's the more important thing. God has plans for you in your life. Now, having said all of that, okay, and kind of laying that foundation, we're going to talk about plans. All right, 2015. We have a theme. I like to kind of do a theme. And last week the elders were talking, and they were saying, you know, what's our theme for this year? I said, I don't know. I hadn't come up with it yet. This was last week. I'm still working on it. As I told the other elders, I said, you know, these things just kind of hit me. I can't explain it. It's like when I look at furniture, I'm wanting to buy a piece of furniture. I'm looking and looking and looking. And when I see it, I know it. Okay? And that's the same way with this. It's just a theme that just kind of, there it is. That's it. And this, during the week, as I was kind of putting all this together, this came to me. Look out. 2015. Now, you can really, depending on how you punctuate that, it can mean a couple different things. Someone say, look out. Okay? Or you can say, look out. Look out. And that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be looking out. Okay? We're going to be looking out for one another. All right? This morning, we want to share with you. I say we, the other elders, and Ray was planning to be here, but I hadn't heard from him. I think he's probably just not feeling very well this morning. He had some things to share. I'll share those with you. Jerry, of course, is out of town. Dale's going to come up and share some things with you in a few minutes about the elders' plans, what we have planned, okay, for this new year. And there's some really exciting things. Some of you, those of you who have been to our men's breakfast that we had earlier in the fall, and our ladies' breakfast we had in the fall that kind of went over a lot of these things, you're aware of it, but a lot of you are not aware of some of these things that we've got planned, and so we want to lay those things out for you this morning. So we want to tell you about our plans for this year with the understanding that if it is the Lord's will. Okay, so in other words, we've laid some things out, and if it is the Lord's will, then 2015, okay, 2015 will be a year of looking out for each other. Okay, and that's what we're going to be talking about. How can we look out for each other? But it's not just a matter of looking out for each other, because we do that, but it's looking out for each other better. It's kind of like, you know, we were focusing all last year on striving for excellence. We want to be more of a church of excellence. And this is an area that we can do better in. And what I mean by that is this. You know, we gather together like this. And we come together on Sundays and we worship together. And I'm always hearing from our visitors. They talk about how friendly we are, how welcoming they feel, and just what a warm congregation we have. And we amongst ourselves, we talk about so often what a great family that we are privileged to be a part of. It's great to be a part of this family. And we do family really, really well when we're together right here. Okay? We do it okay after we leave from here on Sunday mornings. You know, there's a lot of folks that are doing some things during the week, looking after some folks, but this is an area that we can do better. You see? And that's what our challenge is for this year, is for us to look out for each other better. Better than we have to, and better than what we do even just here. But looking out for one another when we're not here. And so we're going to talk about some things that will help us, I think, to do that more and to do it better in our relationships with one another as we reach out to other folks. So we started out this morning talking about a new ministry. We've been talking about this for a few weeks, our ministry to our shut-ins. Okay? This ministry begins today. Okay, this is the first day of this. And what's going to happen is the first Sunday of each month, we're targeting for that. And what happens is I have some cards here with the name of a person, their address and phone number on them that would like to encourage anybody and everyone that would like to get a card from me after services this morning, and your commitment then is to go and visit that person, hopefully today, but at the very least to go and visit them by the end of the week. Okay, so you pick up a visitor's card. These are the folks that are members of our church family here, but typically cannot be here because of their health reasons. Okay, some of them will be, and just from time to time, they will be people that, you know, have things going on. It's a temporary situation. In other words, they're normally here, but they've got extended sickness or something going on that they're not able to be here and haven't been for a while. And so we want to check on them better. Okay. Now, one of the things, you know, some of you, and I thought about this a lot, some of you go, well, isn't that the elder's job to be checking on these people? Yes, it is. And Ray, to let you know part of what Ray does for us as an eldership, is that Ray calls everybody. Okay? And so, you know, if you haven't been here, you know, missed it, then Ray's going to give you a call and check on you. Okay? And that's a great part of what Ray does for the eldership. But we can do better. You see, part of this has to do with the idea of it's kind of that out of sight, out of mind thing. You know, somebody's not here and we're not seeing them each time. And so it's really easy to forget about it. And we don't want to do that. We want to do better. You see? And we have several of our members here who are just not able to be here with us because of their physical situations. And so what we want to make sure is that none of them go more than a month where somebody has not visited them. Not just call them on the phone, but to visit them and to talk with them and so forth. So that's what this ministry is all about, is making sure that those people that are not able to be with us, that we check on them, visit with them, spend some time with them at the very least, once a month. So I want to encourage you to take part in this ministry. See me afterwards. I've got the cards right here. Pick up one of these and see about visiting that person. If you can, visit them today, but at least by the end of this week. Got their phone numbers on here, so you can give them a call and say, hey, I'd like to come visit with you. When would be a good time? So I hope that you will be a part of that ministry that will help us to be able to look after those people, to look out for them a little bit better than what we have been doing in the past, okay? So that's what that is. Let's talk about our four Sunday evenings, okay? A couple of years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, we stopped having regular Sunday evening services here. We discussed it a whole lot and, you know, came to the point where we're going, you know, we have these Sunday evening services, and we get about 5 to 10 people to show up on Sunday evenings. And sometimes those that are here because, you know, the elders have scheduled, you know, Sunday evening service and we have an obligation to be here. It really didn't seem like it was accomplishing a whole lot. And so we decided to try something different. And so we stopped having regular Sunday evening services. But our intention, and we've said this all along, our intention was not so that you didn't have to come back on Sunday evening so you could stay home and watch football games or whatever, you say. Our intention has always been with that we might be able to use those Sunday afternoons and evenings for other activities, fellowship, and things of that nature. And we're still wanting to try to make that happen more. But let me talk about our fourth Sunday evening first of all. When we decided to go with the no regular Sunday worship service, we said, all right, one Sunday a month, we're going to dedicate to trying to get as many people to come back to the building as we can for some kind of a special event. And you know what the result of that has been? We've had more people coming back on that one Sunday night a month for whatever the activity is than we ever had when we were doing regular Sunday evenings. You see, so that's been a really good thing. Okay, we're getting more people to come back on that fourth Sunday for whatever we've got going on. So a lot of people have been participating in that. Typically, on those four Sundays, we might be doing some singing. Sometimes we do some practicing, learning some new songs so that we can use them in our worship time. We usually have something to eat. Okay? If that's not good enough excuse for you to come, I don't know what is, all right? But we like to use that as an excuse. Let's eat something, okay? That's always a good reason to get together, is just so we can eat together, right? And so typically we get together on that fourth Sunday and we do some kind of activity, fellowship thing, just something fun sometimes, but usually we eat. Now, just to kind of reinforce that idea of eating, okay, because I like to eat. Y'all like eating too, right? Okay, so in January, the 25th of January, the fourth Sunday this month, we have our 11th annual chili cook-off. Okay, so get your recipes out, dust them off. Okay, start thinking about preparing your recipe for the competition. If you don't like chili, that's fine. We have lots of other stuff. You can bring other things to have and enjoy with that. All the fixings that go with it. We will have some quote unquote professional judges again this year. Remember, the rules are no beans. No, anyway. Just kidding. But that's our fourth Sunday for the month of January. Give you a little bit of heads up ahead of time. February is going to be soup. Okay? We did this last year. Cindy and I will prepare several different varieties of soup for us to share that fourth Sunday in February. And then in March, we're going to try the taco night again. We tried this last year. We got snowed out, if I remember correctly. The bad weather that came, we weren't able to do it. We're going to try that again. So, you know, just different things to do, get together, just to fellowship and enjoy the time together. That's what it's really all about. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't been participating in the Fourth Sunday things, you're missing out on a lot of fun and just some great, great fellowship. Now, the other Sundays of the month, of course, the first one I just talked about, first one is our visitation time. Okay? So we got two more left, typically, right? Sometimes we have five Sundays. If we do, we have a fifth Sunday singing. But the other two Sundays, we want to encourage you to use them for a variety of different activities. It could be fellowship. In other words, we've said all along, let's get together, get folks together in one another's homes. Invite somebody over for dinner, in other words, or for lunch afterwards. Invite somebody over to watch a game or do whatever, but fellowship together is one of the things. Somebody would like to have a Bible study in your home, have a small group study or what have you. We encourage you to do that. Also, family night, family time. At the very least, spend some time together as a family. Have a family devotional, family activities, and so forth. Do something together as a family. One of those Sundays each month, typically we will have a movie here at the building. Brian has a list of movies that he's planning on showing throughout the years. We did last year. Those are typically about 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoons. And you know what? We haven't had a whole lot of people showing up for those. So my feeling on that is that there's a whole lot of folks that are missing out on a really great opportunity. We've got some really good movies that we've been seeing, and again, it's just a fun time of fellowship with one another, and you get to watch a really good, clean movie. And we do that right here, and yeah, you're allowed to bring popcorn in and, drink or whatever, just try not to spill it all over the place. But again, it's fellowship time, and that's what we're trying to encourage and promote, okay? Now, here's one of the really exciting things that we have looking forward to this year. I don't know how many of you realize this or not, but April 9th of this year will mark the 20th anniversary of this congregation. 20 years. Now, April 9th is on a Thursday, all right? So April the 12th, which will be the following Sunday, we're going to have a very special day here. Okay, to celebrate our 20th anniversary. So we're going to be inviting, here's one of the first things to do, we're going to be inviting everyone that we can get in contact with that has ever been a member of this congregation in the last 20 years, we want to send them an invitation to invite them to be here with us on that day for our special events. Okay, so we're going to be sending out invitations to this. We want you to talk to folks and let them know that that's what we're doing. Folks, especially, again, we're not targeting, all the members from other congregations around here. It's not a day for, we're not going to send an invitation to all the congregations around here and say, hey, we're having our anniversary, please come. We're targeting the folks who have been members here over the last 20 years. That's our main focus, okay? Now, we need a couple of things from you. The first thing that we need in order to make this happen is contact information. We need names, addresses, phone numbers of family members, friends, whoever that that have been members here, that you're still in contact with, that you can find them or whatever. We need that information so we can send them an invitation. All right? So if you would get that information, write it down, and give it to us here, then that will help us to be able to contact as many folks as we can. I talked to Ted when he was up here for Rick's funeral, and he was all excited. He said, I'm going to put that on my calendar. We're going to plan to be back for that. And that's what we're talking about. He's trying to invite as many folks that have been members here that we can have back here to celebrate with us. Now, the other thing that we need from you is pictures. Okay, we need pictures, especially pictures from those of you who were here, way back when. Cindy and I have only been here for about 10 and a half years, so a little over half the time. So there's a lot of time when we weren't here, but there's a lot of you who have been here from the beginning. We need pictures of events and people and so forth, because we're going to be putting together a slide presentation that we'll have for people just to be able to look and to remember all the different things and people that have been here and so forth. So if you have pictures especially the ones from, you know, way back in the past, please let us use those. If you've got hard copies, because if they're way back and they're probably not digital, you can bring us the hard copies. We'll scan them and we'll give you those pictures back. If you've got digital copies, you can give them to us, you know, for that. We'll copy them and so forth. But if you have any of that, please let us have those so that we can put them in the presentation for that. It's going to be a special day. We're going to have a big fellowship meal and some other things going on. So what I want for you to do is to mark on your calendar that day. Here's one of the most important things about that event and what we're really going to try to do with this. Okay? It's going to be an opportunity for us to look out, okay, and perhaps restore some people to the Lord. Because you see, there's a lot of folks that have been members here that, you know, are no longer living in the area. They've moved away. But there's a lot of folks who are still in this area, some of which have gone to other congregations, they're attending somewhere else, but there's a lot of folks who aren't going anywhere. You see? And we have an opportunity maybe to, you know, draw them back to the Lord. And that's one of the main things that we would like to try to accomplish in this event, you see, is looking out for those folks who, one way or another, have fallen away. And try to bring them back to the Lord. Isn't that a great idea?
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to be trying to do. Now, Dale's going to come up and talk to us about Vacation Bible School. We got some exciting things. Vacation Bible School this year is going to be completely turned upside down from what we have always done in the past. So I'm going to let Dale talk about that.
We've tried several different things with VBS in the last few years and experimented with some things. We tried a one-day VBS, and we've tried week-long VBSs, and we've polled the congregation to ask what you wanted, whether you liked the one-day one or whether you liked the whole week one. And we got, like, half the people liked the one-day and half the people liked the week-long. So we said, well, that really didn't help us at all. So what we decided to do was to do both. So we said, if you like the one-day VBS, we're going to do a one-day VBS on Saturday, July the 11th. And the theme is going to be Noah's Ark, as you may have guessed from the pictures up here. But as Russ said, we're going to do things very differently. You know, in the past, we orchestrate this whole big performance. The VBS is a huge thing at this church. And for those of you that have been here a while, you know that. And it is for me and my family. The first day we walked into the congregation, we looked up and we saw that stage and we're like, wow, imagine all the VBS stuff you could do on that big stage. And so, you know, it's a big thing. But what we wanted to do this year was we said we want the kids to do VBS. Not us do it for them. We want them to do the VBS for themselves and for the adults. So what we decided to have them do was experience VBS. We didn't want it to be a school where they sit down in a classroom and have information given to them and then they go home. We wanted them to come in and experience it. For those that have been around for a while, if you remember some of the ones we've done in the past, they've gone out and they've experienced Jericho and having the walls fall down. They've gone to Nineveh, walked through the city and bought stuff and done things. They've gone through the Red Sea with and had the water part on each side of them. They've gone out and seen the tabernacle set up outside there, complete with a golden calf and everything. We had to be careful that the neighbors didn't think we were worshiping idols. But, you know, we thought, you know, that's what kids are going to remember, is that they've lived VBS. And so we wanted them to do that this time. So we're going to have them put on a performance for us. They're going to do a Noah's Ark play for us on that day. Now, obviously, that's going to require some preparation. They can't just come in that day and throw a play. So what we're going to do is we're going to have that whole week dedicated to getting ready. So for the people that want to do the whole week VBS, you've got a chance to come in and work on VBS for that whole week. For those of you that say, I'm really available on a Saturday more than that week, we're going to need lots of help on that Saturday to come in and do the actual VBS. So during that week, we're going to be finishing up some costuming, and we're going to be finishing up. We got a whole Noah's Ark to build up here on the stage, so we're going to need to do that. We're going to have props that are going to be needed for this play they're going to put on. And we obviously have to rehearse. So we're going to have to be doing all those things on that week going up to it. So what our plan is in April, we're going to have auditions. We're going to open it up to not only this congregation, but neighbor congregations, and have people come and audition. There's about 14 primary roles of people that have speaking parts. And so we've got a lot of opportunities for people to come in, and if you've always dreamed of being Noah, or if you've always dreamed of being Shem's wife, you know, whatever it is that you may have dreamed, which, by the way, is one of the biggest parts of the play, is Shem's wife. So if that's always been your dream, then come on in and audition for us on that day. We're going to have several Saturday rehearsals through May and through June, just to come in and also be fitted for costumes. And I'm hoping that Ann and Denise are going to help us have some very nice costumes for the show. But we'll have some early rehearsals, and then we're going to do some intensive rehearsals that last week. And then we're going to expect those 14 primary people to come in and be the leaders and help for the students that just arrived for the first time on that Saturday. They're going to fill in a lot of the minor animal roles, and they're going to be all the different animals on the ark. They're going to have some songs to learn. Their craft is probably going to involve getting their final finishing touches on their costumes done, so that they're ready to be animals. They're going to have to learn the songs. They're going to learn the story. All those usual VBS things that happen are going to need to happen on that day. And so we have a lot to do. We're going to need a lot of help with it. So we've got lots of opportunities for anything that you want to do with VBS. Not everybody has to be, you know, performing or helping them perform. We've got a lot of roles behind the scenes and a lot of things that are going to need to be done. The performance will be around 20 to 30 minutes, depending on how it fleshes out. Right now, the script isn't finalized or anything, but it should be a musical. Should have the kids singing some songs and doing some things like that, not just a play. But it should be a lot of fun. Especially the target audience here, or the people that will be in the play, will be about from 10 years old to about 17. We're willing to entertain people outside that range. If you are 18 or 19 and you really like to help, we're going to have some big roles and some small roles. If you're 8 or 9, but you say, I can do this, I'm a born performer, I can be a star, come on to auditions. And just because you're not in the exact range doesn't mean you won't have something to do with this. Okay. But it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a very different type of situation, and that's what we're going for our anniversary year, is new and different. Because if you keep on doing the same things over and over and over every year, you get bored and you get tired. So we're going to try this and do something completely different. And so I hope you'll come out and support it and have a good time. All right.
I think the hardest roles we're going to have to fill is the role of sconce. We're going to need at least two of those. I've got to tell you the story about Dale. When Dale and Denise, as much as they like Vacation Bible School, the first year that they came here, we were up here building the set for our Vacation Bible School. And if I remember correctly, it was the ski lodge thing that we were doing. And we were building the framing and so forth for the ski lodge. And at that point, when Dale walked in, we were putting a door in. And Dale just kind of stopped and looked at us, and he said, "You guys are using a real door?" And Tom and I don't remember who else was there, we turned around and looked at him like, "Well, of course." So I'm telling you that for those of you who have never been here for our Vacation Bible School, it's a big deal.
And so we want to encourage you to plan to participate in Vacation Bible School. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I think it will be something that will be tremendously memorable to all of us, but especially to the children. So we got a lot of work to do on that. We are going to build an ark up here. Okay? So I'm going to need a lot of help with that. So anyway, a couple of other things that I want to tell you about, just to let you know, some things that we need here in our plans for this year. Of course, as Dale mentioned, you know, one of the things we want to encourage you, if you're planning different activities like Ladies' Day and so forth, you know, we want to try to encourage you to incorporate the 20th anniversary into those things somehow, to share just, you know, the excitement that, you know, we've been here for 20 years, and that's an accomplishment to do that. We also need a Cradle Roll class. We got some babies coming along, don't we, Monique? You see, we got some babies on the way, and so we need to be planning now to be able to make that happen so that when these babies are toddlers and, you know, and so forth, they're able to sit up in a chair or whatever, we need to have a Bible class time for them. And we really need to have that as soon as possible, at least to have it, you know, going. Because the other part of this is, you know, we have visitors and so forth. Last week, for instance, my grandchildren were here. I had two toddlers here, and we had them in the KFC class because we didn't have a Cradle Roll class for them. And that would have been a great thing to have, and that's the age that we're talking about. So if you are interested in helping to put together a Cradle Roll class for that, then please let one of the elders or Tom know about your interest in that so we can make that happen. The other thing that we need to make happen is a regularly attended nursery. This is something we need to do better here, that we have a regularly attended nursery during our worship services for those folks, again, especially for our visitors, but for anybody that has a baby, if a child, you know, doesn't want to be in here and listen to me, you know, they have an option. They can take them out to the nursery and take care of them there. And that's just something that we need to have. So we need people that are willing to step up and say, hey, I'm willing to serve in the nursery, and make that happen so that we have that available to everybody for that. All right. So, again, if you are willing to help with that, then we need you to let us know. So that we can have a regularly attended nursery on Sunday mornings for our worship time, okay? A lot of possibilities, a lot of things to go on. Our plans that we have, okay, and if it's the Lord's will, okay, then these things will take place. Now we'll see them come to fruition, but we want to make this our 20th year the best ever. Okay, and we can do that, okay, as we look out in 2015, all right, we can make that happen, but here's a couple of questions. What plans does God have for you? Okay, so think about that. What plans does God have for you? Not as much what plans do you have for you, but what plans does God have for you? Okay, and more importantly, okay, I think this is the more important question. Will you allow God to work His plans in your life? In other words, will you be like this guy? When it comes to God's plans for you, okay, what will your response be in 2015? And really, if you think about it, that's what it's all about, is allowing God to work His plans in our lives. Because it's not about our plans, it's about His. And God has a plan, as we talked about earlier, for each and every one of us. But it's His plan. And we've got to allow Him to work it out in our lives. And that plan may be for you right now in your life to change something in your life. That maybe there's an obstacle, there's something going on in your life that needs to be gotten out of it. We talked about it in our Bible class. You know, you got to clear that, you know, that field out, you know, get the garbage out of there so that, you know, your relationship with God can grow. And maybe that's His plans for you right now. There's something in your life that needs to be gotten out of there. You say, will you allow Him to work His plan in your life to help you get rid of whatever obstacles might be there in your relationship with Him? His plan might be for you, for those of you who have not given your life to Christ yet, His plan might be for you right now, you say, to submit your life to Him and to begin a relationship with Him in this new year.
are you willing to submit to His plan for your life? Okay. There may be something else that's going on in your life that God has plans for you. Maybe a work somewhere, maybe a job, whatever it might be, that God has plans. Will you allow Him to work His plan in your life? That's the question. So we're going to stand together and sing a song, and a song of invitation that lets you know that God is inviting us to come to Him to say, God, what do you want me to do for you in my life? And whatever it is at this moment, we can't help you with it if we don't know what you need. Okay, so we offer this kind of invitation for anyone to come and say, hey, I want to let God work in my life. I want to follow His plans, and here's what I need to make that happen. Dale will be in the back to receive anybody that would like to be back. Come back here and have a private prayer conversation with him, and I'll be up here in front to receive anyone who would like to come up. But we offer the invitation. So let's stand together and sing.